The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The Bible says that if we want to be blessed generously, we have to give generously. And then it's kind of a no-brainer, the example he gives here. The more seed a farmer sows, the more harvest he receives. You might think of it like this. The more money a person puts in the bank, the more interest he'll acquire. The more taxes we pay, the more government we get. Okay, anyway, you kind of get the idea here, okay? The Apostle Paul says that this kind of works with God, that when we invest in his work, the more we do that, the more blessing we will receive from him. You think about some of the things the Bible tells us to do. We're to love our neighbors, we're to serve the poor, we're to forgive our enemies. Well, the Bible also says that we are to be generous with what we have so that needs will be met and that God will be honored. And the truth is, as a pastor, it's often easier to talk about loving, serving, even forgiving than it is to talk about generosity. I think it's because a lot of people feel like, oh, the church, all they ever do is ask for money. You come to church, there's some other thing they want money for. What's it going to be today? But what did Paul say? Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's a promise from God. And the truth is, if we're generous with other people, it's likely that other people will be more generous with us. It's what we saw in that video, right? We share what we have. Other people are more likely to share back with us. If you share with a neighbor who is in need, well, it's not a guarantee, but it's likely that they'll be willing to share back with you. If you're generous with your employees, then it's more likely they will rise to the occasion when you need some extra effort. Again, doesn't always work that way, but often it does. Even if other people do not respond to us in a generous way, God promises to bless those who are generous. You want to be blessed by God? Bless others. Now, it's not that we give just so we can give something in return, right? Our generosity needs to be motivated by love, not selfishness. But the Bible says the reward for unselfish generosity is the blessing of God. And we see that promise over and over and over again in the Bible. We started a brief 3-week series last Sunday. It's called Your Serve. That's why we have about 40 tennis rackets hanging up in here. We wanted to kind of get this whole idea of serving. And last week we said that God expects us, he calls us, in fact, he commands us to serve, to use our gifts to serve other people. When we serve in his name, the Apostle Peter said, we're actually sharing God's grace. We will never truly be fulfilled until we choose to serve. You see a need, you meet a need, and others are blessed, God is glorified, we find meaning and purpose for our lives. If you think about it, our serving sometimes has eternal consequences, right? If people experience loving service from followers of Jesus, well, they're much more likely, ultimately, to become a follower of Jesus themselves. And friends, the reality is that many serving opportunities require money. It's just the way it goes, right? Whether you're buying a meal for somebody, you're helping somebody pay their bills, you're sponsoring a child in Uganda, you're providing hurricane victims aid in some way down south, you're supporting a missionary in Honduras. It takes money to meet needs. Not always, not all needs, but often it does. I'm sorry, it's allergy season, and it is real. There are two chapters in 2 Corinthians that talk about generosity. And we've kind of done a deep dive into those two chapters in the past. What I want to do today is just kind of do the 20,000-foot flyover and get a summary of these these two chapters as we talk about funding needs. I'll kind of set the stage here real quickly, then I'll show you some key verses. If you remember, the church launched in Jerusalem, right? The first Christians were Jews who chose to follow Jesus. Then later, God sent the Apostle Paul all over the Roman Empire to lead Gentiles to Christ. Well, a time came where the believers down in Jerusalem were facing extreme poverty, even starvation. See, the Roman occupation and overwhelming taxation were stretching people to the limit anyway, and then a famine came, and the Christians in Jerusalem were in serious trouble. So Paul shared their need with the Gentile believers outside of Israel, all around the Mediterranean. And the Gentiles, man, they stepped up in a big way. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about the believers in Macedonia who were helping the Christians back in Jerusalem. Okay, you with me? All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Isn't that something? Because of God's grace, their poverty and their joy welled up into generosity. Verse 3, "I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." Don't miss what's happening here. Paul did not just go to rich people and ask them to help take care of poor people. No, word spread about the need in Jerusalem, and these poor people in Macedonia, people who knew what it was like to go to bed hungry and to wonder where your next meal's coming from and maybe to have to leave your home and go camp out in a tent somewhere. These poor people in Macedonia were so committed to the Lord that when they found out there was an offering to help people in even worse circumstances, they begged Paul to let them help. I mean, they couldn't wait to share with other people who were in need. Friends, sometimes the most generous people are the ones who know what it's like to actually be in need themselves. And then Paul kind of goes on to suggest, you know who that sounds like? You know who that reminds me of? Jesus. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." I mean, think about it. Jesus was the Lord of heaven and earth, right? The King of kings, the Lord of lords, wonderful counselor, everlasting God, mighty Father, Prince of Peace. But for our sakes, he gave up the glory of heaven to live a life of poverty on earth, to preach for 3 years to stubborn and fickle crowds, and ultimately to die a shameful death on the cross. And he did that so that we might become rich. Now, not necessarily rich in cash, but rich in hope, rich in peace and in joy and in forgiveness. Think of it like this. Jesus gave up everything he had so that we might receive everything we need. And he set us an example. Now, we can't give like he did. We can't bless other people like he can. We don't have unlimited resources like he does, but we can do our part. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 8:12. "If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." God does not expect you to give what you don't have, but he does expect us to be generous with what we do have. Rather than clutching and grasping and hoarding, we need to kind of hold on loosely and share wherever we can. Now, let me show you something else about funding needs that Paul teaches us here. I mean, as you can imagine, with believers all around the Mediterranean Sea of this time, They were taking up offerings all over the place for the people back in Jerusalem, and a lot of money got collected. It did. There was no Venmo, there's no traveler's checks, there's no bank accounts, there's no Bitcoin, right? The money just kind of got collected and then handed over so it could make its way back to Jerusalem. And a believer named Titus was responsible for collecting the money. But Paul says he made sure that Titus was accompanied by another faithful follower of Christ. It would not be fair to put Titus in a situation where he's responsible for all this money by himself. What if he was tempted to help himself to the money? Or even more likely, what if somebody accused him? Well, you know, I thought there was more in that yesterday. You know, and maybe an accusation would be made. And if he's by himself, he really doesn't have any way to defend himself. And so Paul said we made sure somebody else was along with him. Even in the first century, safeguards and accountability were built into the process. This is how Paul summarizes it in 2 Corinthians 8:20. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we're taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And you need to know that our church works really hard to handle money wisely. We have checks and balances. Our staff has kind of a business credit card each, but man, there's spending limits on the card. We have to turn in receipts for everything. If we do anything outside of the budget, we take that to the elders before we do it. Paul says that we want to honor the Lord with how we use the offering. And it's really important to remain above reproach. Here's kind of a for instance. Let me tell you about this. Our church, you guys, we raised a lot of money to build a home for orphans in Kenya. Okay? I believe it was the right thing to do. I believe that people are going to be impacted because of those gifts. The home's beautiful. But if you were here back in August, you know that right at the last minute, I had to cancel my trip to Kenya. And the reality is the people over there have not done a good job lately of communicating with us. There's been some accountability issues that we're trying to work through. Even though I've been over there a couple of times, we got everything established to get the house started, it's just not gone like we had expected. Our partnership with them, at least for now, maybe not forever, but for now it's kind of been put on hold. We're not sending any more money. We're not sending the quarterly money that we had been sending. Our leaders take very seriously how we invest the money you give. And so sometimes we have to make hard decisions. And we're kind of in the middle of one of those right now. But listen again to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Basically, for God to be honored, we need to give not just generously, but willingly. I heard about a little boy whose mom was picking him up after Sunday school, and she got to the classroom, and he's just in tears. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" He said, "That teacher took my dime." Sometimes they do that, you know, those Sunday school teachers do. And some givers are not willing givers. Some givers are not cheerful givers, right? Not everybody does that. The truth is, listen, other people can be blessed by our gifts even if we are reluctant to let go of the money. Other people can benefit from our offerings even if we feel like we're being conned or pressured into giving. But the only way we will be blessed by our giving is if we give because we want to. It's about our heart. That's how we're blessed. Others can be blessed no matter what, but it's how we are blessed. Back in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 9, Paul refers to gifts grudgingly given. This is the opposite of that. This is not grudgingly, it's willingly. And man, those of you who have two children or more, if you have two grandchildren or more, you've probably seen something like this unfold. All right, child one is playing with a toy. Then he gets up and goes into the other room. While he's gone, child two goes over and starts playing with the same toy. And a few minutes later, child one comes back into the room and There sits child two playing with his toy. And he says, you can't play with that. I'm playing with that. And he grabs it, takes it away. Child two screams. And suddenly, you are in the middle of a play date that you weren't planning on attending, right? I mean, you're thrust in the middle of this. And so you take the toy away from child one. You give it back to child two, all the while explaining the beauty of sharing and telling them about the fascinating sermon on generosity you heard last Sunday at church. And then when you explain all that, your child says, well, Mom, now that you put it that way, of course I would love to grant my sibling some quality time with my most prized possession. And that's the way it works at your house, isn't it? Yeah, probably not. All right, more likely, you make them share. Child one is crying, child two is crying, you feel like crying, and it's just a big mess. It's a gift grudgingly given. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 9, 7. I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation this time. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. There's that word, cheerfully. The New Testament was written in Greek. The Greek word for cheerful here is hilaros, from which we get our word hilarious. When's the last time you put hilarious and giving together in the same sentence, right? God loves those who give hilariously. In fact, to contrast that, did you ever stop to realize that the root word for miserable is miser? Stingy people are unhappy people. Joy comes when we give. It's when we give joyfully, we give cheerfully, we give willingly, hilariously. And what happens when we do that? Look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Notice he says we have all that we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but we have what we need. And then Paul suggests that again in verse 10. Talking about God, he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. As we meet the needs of others, God promises to meet our needs. And somebody said one time, don't worry about how God's going to bless your tithes and your offerings. He might increase your income. He might lower your expenses. He might sustain your household appliances. He might protect your health. He might keep your car out of the shop. God blesses in his time, in his way, but he blesses the generous. He supplies what we need. In fact, verse 11 begins by saying, you will be made rich in every way. In every way means it's not just financially, but it's also physically. It means that we will have an abundance spiritually, and we do, through his word and through the church, and through his Holy Spirit in our lives. It means we'll be rich relationally. Generous people tend to have more friends. I'm not talking about the kind of people you win the lottery and all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork because everybody wants a piece of the action. Not fake friends. We're talking about deep relationships. Generous people are the kind of people you just like to hang around with. Paul says over in verse 14 that when we are generous, other people's hearts will go out to us. We just build better relationships through generosity. And then look at the rest of verse 11. He says, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you know what it means to be rich? Let me give you a really simple definition. Rich means you have more than you need. That's really what it is. We're not talking here about extreme wealth. We're not talking about some kind of over-the-top luxury. This is not you live in an exclusive gated community. You take your helicopter to work every day. No, it's not that kind of stuff we're talking about. Being rich is having more than you need, and generosity is when you share that. That's all we're talking about. And it's not just putting money in the offering containers at the doors where we collect the offering. I mean, sure, that's important. The Bible talks about giving to the Lord through the church. But generosity can be all kinds of things. It could be buying groceries for a friend who's in need, or buying a Christmas present for a child who might not get anything otherwise. Maybe it means you loan your car to a neighbor whose car is in the shop. Or maybe you send a financial gift to a missionary or to a Bible college. Maybe you go visit a friend in the hospital. Maybe you prepare a meal for a family who's grieving. Maybe you donate blankets to a homeless shelter. There's any number of ways that we can be generous toward others. Generosity is doing more than is expected. It's giving our best, not just the leftovers. And friends, God gives us what we need so that we can help those who have less than they need. It's what funding needs is all about. In fact, this is the bottom line today. God gives us more than we need so we can help those who have less than they need. In effect, it's like God restocks the shelves when we run out so that we can take care of ourselves, sure, but so that we can also help other people. I'm saying what Paul's saying here. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. It's like if things are going pretty well for you financially right now, well, that's awesome. Just don't get smarmy about it, okay? Look around and figure out why God has blessed you, because it's likely that somebody nearby needs some help. And that's not all. God blesses us so that others will praise the Lord. Take a look at verse 12 here of 2 Corinthians 9. This service that you perform, he's talking about the giving that they're doing, the offering for the hurting people in Jerusalem. This service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of your gifts, because of my gifts, other people will praise, not us, they'll praise God for our generosity. I was trying to think how to explain this week. It's like when Christians are generous, we make God look good. Now, it's not that he needs our help to look good. It's not that we are in charge of God's image management or anything like that. I'm just saying that when we show love and we show grace and we are open-handed toward people in Jesus' name, they're more likely to be grateful to him. And whether it's Christians helping Christians or it's Christians helping unbelievers, non-Christians, or whether it's helping missionaries who are going to go to the ends of the earth, when we show love in Jesus' name, God ends up being glorified. Felicia Holmes from our church, she is in first service often, she went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic last month with her cousin Amanda and three others. It's one of the trips that Commission Encounter from our church offered this year. First time Felicia has ever been out of the country on a mission trip. She said she was always one of those kind of people who said that they would be glad to give toward a mission. She just knew she would never visit one. But then God told her to go. And so she went. And she and I talked this week. She said they taught some Bible classes and worked with children. They visited in people's homes. They did projects like building some picnic tables, painting and decorating some school classrooms. They planted snap peas. They met people who lived in poverty, people who struggled every day to make ends meet, believers who really count on the generosity of others to survive. She said, we were there to love and serve, but what we discovered is that we got loved and served. Friends, generosity is contagious. Felicia said that experience has made her more grateful. It's made her more content. It's made her eager to draw closer to God than ever before. When we serve like that, sure, it helps other people, but it changes us too. Two Sundays ago, we took up a special offering here over and above our regular offering for hurricane relief in North Carolina and Florida. You guys gave $5,000. Next week, next Sunday, during our three worship services, in this room, we are going to pack 17,000 meals for people who were in extreme poverty around the world. We did this 2 years ago. We packed 15,000 meals. We're going to pack more this time. It was an awesome experience. It's a worship experience to be able to do this together. Just to have some of our older elementary kids, some of our senior adults, everybody in between, all working together, and we all got to wear the stylish hairnets. It was awesome. Anyway, when we give time, energy, money, we're blessing other people. We're honoring the Lord. I have some friends from Louisville. I met them in Madisonville, Kentucky, about 40 years ago. God has blessed their business like crazy. And for about the last 20 years, they've paid for all of my overseas mission trips, thousands of dollars. They also support every year the work that I'm involved with college students every May in Colorado. They've just been so generous. They are super busy people. They are high capacity, just crazy busy people. And they'd be the first ones to say, we don't feel called to go on a mission trip. But they fund missions like crazy. And they make sure that missions happen. They don't just bless me. They support dozens of missionaries every month through their foundation. When you give money to Nelson Christian Church, part of it goes to paying the staff and keeping the lights on. Thank you. Seriously, we really appreciate it. You bless us. But a good bit of the money that you give goes right here to serving the people at Nelson Christian Church. Somebody's going to pay for all the coffee you guys drink on Sunday mornings. But also, your money goes to ministries right here in Nelson County, and it goes to missionaries around the world. We handed out these information sheets today. If you did not get one, they should be at Welcome Central when you leave today. And it's a long list of ministries inside the church, ministries in the community, and international ministries that we're involved with. Every dollar you give in some way supports the work in these places. From Nelson County Community Action to the Marimbe School in Uganda. From the New Life Center here in Bardstown to Rob Esposito in Honduras. From On the Go Foods around the corner to Japan and Africa and India, halfway around the world. Your generosity is investing in the lives of people. Take this and use it as a prayer list. Just keep it around handy somewhere. Every day, pray for one or two, or as many as you want, ministries in the church, in the community, around the world. We would love for you to do that. Pastor Wayne Smith, he's in heaven now, man, just such a great man. Somebody asked him one time, if I don't tithe, will I go to hell? Tithe's giving 10%. This is what he said. Probably not, but somebody will. What's he saying? The result of generosity is that the kingdom of God grows. God doesn't bless us so we can have a bigger house or a fancier car. He blesses us so we can invest in other people to lead them to Christ. And the more we give, the more people hear the gospel. And the less we give, the less people hear the gospel. It's just math. Listen to the exclamation point that Paul puts on these two chapters in 2 Corinthians. The last declaration, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He's been talking about giving gifts and people who are so generous. He says, you think you're generous? Let me tell you about God's gift. Actually, I can't even do it. It's indescribable. When God sent Jesus, there's never been a greater gift given. Nothing compares to the ultimate gift of Christ. God gives us more than we need, so we can help those who have less than they need. And man, the neediest people in the world are the people who don't have Christ. I want to wrap up today by reminding you of something that happened here back in 2019. Some of you are here for this, and I know you remember it as soon as you see this start to play out. Others of you maybe have no idea we did this. But for several weeks leading up to this day, we just told people, look, you're going to want to bring a little cash on this particular Sunday. Nobody's going to make you give. You can walk out with as much cash as you brought if you want to, but I promise you, you're going to wish you had some cash in your pocket on this day. And so people came and they brought their cash, and we told them what it was about. We didn't make anybody give it away, but this video is actually on the news, kind of gives you a picture of what happened that day. Take a look at this.
When a pizza delivery driver walked through the doors of a Bardstown sanctuary, what he thought was a normal pizza delivery turned into a $700 tip.
WDRB's Dalton Godby explains the driver was so stunned by this generosity, he immediately paid it forward himself.
A pastor's sermon about generosity took a simple idea and turned it into an incredible blessing for a Papa John's delivery driver. Tossing dough, spreading sauce, and boxing it all up. It's nothing new, but something out of the ordinary came through the doors of a Bardstown Papa John's just a few weeks ago.
Preacher had come in here a couple Fridays ago and said they were doing a sermon on generosity, and they wanted to have a driver come, not even with a big order, one pizza and a breadstick.
Simple request, right? But why?
I wanted to do something that people would remember. And I told them on Sunday, I know you're going to forget my sermon, but you'll never forget what we do today.
Nelson Christian Church pastor Mark Jones is right. The people in the congregation on Sunday will never forget what happened.
We've got a ticket for you for $770.
What was thought to be a normal delivery resulted in a $700 tip.
We passed the offering plates and we told everybody any loose cash in the offering plate today is going to be part of our tip. And it ended up being about $720.
His mouth just fell open. I mean, he bought us all lunch. He was so excited, he couldn't believe it.
The man delivering the pizza, Stephen Greenwell, single father of two little girls.
You know, what a blessing to him. I hear the guy's working a weekend job, probably working a couple of jobs and doing his best. And so we felt like this could be something that would really be a boost for him.
The sermon on generosity creating a blessing.
Generosity builds bridges.
That extends far beyond money. Dalton Godby, WDRB News.
Yes, 5 years ago I had red hair. You guys have done this to me. Okay, look what you've done to me. All right, okay, I'm just kidding. Man, isn't that cool? It was just, oh, was such an exciting day. It was so fun to be a part of that. Listen to what it says. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Man, God gives us more than we need so we can help those who have less than they need. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, you have been so good to us. When we talk about generosity, we think about the fact that you sent your son Jesus into this world. That he came to give his life for us, to save us from our sins. And God, we are so, so thankful for that. And then you give us this amazing promise that as we are generous with others, you'll be generous with us, that you bless us so we can keep on blessing others. Help us, God, to be your hands and feet in this world. Help us to show your love to those who have needs. Help us to do that in a tangible way through our giving, but just in the way that we talk to people, in the way that we treat people, in the way that we interact. We want to be light for you. We want to show people the life that is found in you. So use us, we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave it all for us. We owe you everything. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.